Good morning, everyone. It is good to be together where we can worship the Lord. Yes, kids can go down. If you'd like to go down, you may go down. Yeah. Have fun, guys. It was a fast song. Love them. That's awesome. Let's pray. Father God, you are good. Thank you. Thank you for children. Thank you for the light, the honesty, the joy. And just ask that you would bless the children, Lord, of all of our families and in our community, Father. Lord, thank you that we can gather together. Oh, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be present here among us, that you would shape us, mold us, form us more and more into the image of Christ in this time, oh God. Pray that as we open your word, you would illuminate it to our souls, oh God, to our hearts, to our bodies, and to our minds. That we would know you, Lord Jesus, that we would love you, and that we would go forth into the world making you known, Lord, spreading and sharing your love and your light, Lord God, with this hurting world. We, your people, hurt too, O Lord God, and experience many difficulties, as Michael was praying for earlier, Lord, and we do ask again and again for your grace and your mercy for all those who mourn, who suffer now, O Lord God. Lord, would you please be a great comfort to us? Would you turn our hearts, our minds to Jesus now, Lord God, as we come to your word? O Lord, make yourself known. This is a tough passage, Father. So I pray you would, again, by your Holy Spirit, help us to see you clearly. And would you instruct us now, O God, in how to believe and how to walk? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John 15. Thank you again to Michael for preaching for me last week, and went over 2 years and no one in our family had COVID, and then wham, we got it. But that's done now, right? And we've been promised that even with vaccines, and now also with having received the disease, right? Like my antibodies are supercharged, right? So that's done, right? I don't have to worry about that anymore. Yep, we'll see about that. In last week's passage, in the beginning of chapter 15, Jesus speaking to his disciples. This is, again, keep in mind, this is like the last time he's going to speak to them before he goes to the cross. Right, these chapters here are just full of Jesus, like his last words to his disciples. We'll get to his prayer for his disciples and the world, and even he prays for us specifically. This comes up later on in chapter 17, 18. But here he is talking about he and the Father are one, the first half of the chapter. He and the Father are one, and he describes how when we abide in him, that we are one with the Father, and we are one with Jesus, right? When we make our home with Jesus, that we are together. He calls us now not just servants, but friends, because he has made known his plans to us. And his plans were awful. He was going to the cross because of us, because of our sins. But in his love for us, he goes there willingly for the joy set before him. He endures the cross. And that's where he's focusing on now. And his disciples are starting to understand that, but it's hard, it's confusing. And he ends that passage from last week again in chapter 15 by again the command which he's been speaking all through chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 that he says, love one another. Okay? Love one. This is his command. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. You want to know what my commands are? Love one another. Now, it will take us a lifetime, I believe, to understand what that means, how we go about loving one another, to learn to love one another. But that's the last line that Jesus speaks before our passage this morning. So the context here is within Jesus saying, love one another. That's my command to you. Love one another. Our passage this morning is going to end by the third time he's reminding us or telling us that the Holy Spirit is going to come. Jesus is going to go to the Father and he's going to send the Holy Spirit. And now we have this difficult passage about what it's going to be like for us living as followers of Jesus in this time when Jesus goes away and before he comes again, which he talked about in chapter 14. So in the midst of what's life going to be like and what should we expect as followers of Jesus, remember, we are to love one another and we will receive the Holy Spirit, which will empower us and help us and lead us and guide us. With that, let's go to John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. We'll do verses 18 through 27, Lord willing, this morning. Hear the word of the Lord. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is within their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. This is God's word. In this passage, Jesus is saying, if we follow him, if we are believers in Christ, we're not of this world. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. That while we dwell in this world, we are not actually of the world. We belong to a different kingdom, to a different world. Our allegiance lies in the kingdom of God. And Jesus warns us what to expect. He says in verses 18 through 21, the world rejected Jesus, and it should reject us. We should expect that the world will reject us. We think of how the world treated Jesus. Jesus spoke the truth of God and of his kingdom to a world that didn't want to hear it. Remember way back in, if you remember, way back in chapter 1 of John, says that Jesus came to his own, whom he had created, his own people, and we knew him not. We didn't know him. We rejected him. That's because we love darkness, and he is the light that comes into the world, but we love darkness instead. And so we rejected Jesus. That's not just something we can blame on others or blame on people who lived 2,000 years ago. We too would have rejected Jesus. It is only by God's work, his grace, his free gift of awakening us to who Jesus is that we can believe in him. It's not because we're morally superior to someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, or there's something, you know, really good about our hearts, or we were brought up in the right way because we no, it's God's grace. And so all glory goes to him if we believe, and all our compassion and love for those who do not yet believe. If the world rejected Jesus, if we are following Jesus, we should expect them to reject us also. Now, here's where this passage is tough, I think. Because we have many, we're all so different. And the church in America is so different, right? And that's, I think, wonderful in so many ways. We have to, it's hard to just kind of lump us all into, we really can't lump us all into one category. And to just say, you know, yeah, boy, the world really hates us. Yeah, we got to be careful with that, I think, right? I think that sometimes we like to have a persecution complex. We like to think that we're the victim, poor us. Boy, the world really hates us. And there's a lot in our nation now that is like that is saying, oh boy, we've got to fight for our religious freedoms, right? We've got to make sure that Christianity can be free, and that we're not oppressed and put down and written out of the world. I agree that we shouldn't be. Some of you aren't going to like this. I suggest that we're really far away from that becoming a reality in many ways. Okay? That we really don't experience persecution. Now, maybe you have. Maybe you in a job or with a friend have said, no, I believe Jesus. I believe who he says he is in his word, and I stand by him. And then someone has said, oh, well then, you know, you, I don't like you. And maybe you've taken a hit at your job or you've had some broken relationships. Those are all possibilities, though I suspect it's not that often that has occurred to us. Whereas we know, right? We all know there are so many places in the world. We often talk about China, but there are so many places in the world where really to stand and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I trust him as my Savior. That there are grave consequences for your physical safety and well-being. That there is real hatred that turns to violence. And we don't experience that. I would still say, whatever else we think politically and all that, and what I love is we have a diversity in our congregation of political views, and boy, it makes it really tricky to try to include everybody and speak here, but that's wonderful, that's okay. That, you know what, hey, no one's knocking on our doors right now trying to throw us out, right? We're free, we can worship. I mean, we're broadcasting over the internet right now, right? Around, you can go around the world and say, hey, Jesus is Christ. He's the Lord. He's the Savior, right? And we're free to do that. And so, praise God. But Jesus' word says that when we follow him, we will also be rejected. So there might be a few things going on there. So now I'm going to offend other people, maybe. It's my job. Maybe the world likes us too much because we're too much like the world. Maybe we're indistinguishable from those who don't love Jesus, don't trust Jesus, and don't believe him. Maybe there's no way of telling us apart, and so people think, hey, you're just like me. And I would suggest that's not how we're to live either. That I do believe we are to be different. Not in an attempt to be weird. I mean, we are weird. We don't have to try. Hey, right there, brother. Right with you, brother. Right there with you. But Jesus is different. Jesus, the kingdom of God is, as you know, as we've said before, Phil Vischer says, it's the upside-down kingdom, right? Where the first is last. Where if you want to lead, you must serve. I remember once when I was working in business, and I was applying. This is 25 years ago. That's a long time. I was applying for a different position within the company, and I remember the vice president, head, whatever, asked me to describe my leadership style. And I remember I thought about it, and I thought, well, what I want it to be is a servant leader. Blank look on his face. A what? A servant leader? I didn't get that position, by the way. Did not get that. Right? I'm not saying that's what I do. I said that's what I want to be. Why? Because that's what Jesus is. Right? We just looked, right? We just saw the passage where Jesus gathers his disciples. What are disciples? They're followers. Who's Jesus? He's the master. He gathers them for the Passover meal, and he strips down naked and takes the basin of water and does what even a slave wouldn't do. He goes and he washes their feet. That's what the master does. That's upside down. And he says, if I do this to you, go and do likewise. So whose feet have we washed this week? Let's even say it's metaphor, not literal. How can we wash someone's feet this week? Does that maybe connect with his commandment to love one another? Boy, is it humbling to wash somebody's feet, right? That makes us look low. That doesn't puff us up. The world wants to get ahead. The world thinks that we should try and strive to be number one, right? Jesus is number one, and he's not striving. He's serving. So in what ways will we emulate, will we follow, model our lives this week after Jesus in a way that the world would recognize that there's something different about these people, something different about them. And you know what? They may not like it. They may not. God may be at work in their life so that there's something that would be appealing to others who do not yet know the Lord as they see us live our lives. But we should expect and should not be surprised if we are rejected, because Jesus was. And therefore, again, I would just contend that things aren't as bad for us right now as sometimes we hear about on radio or TV or whatever, in terms of being a Christian, in terms of being persecuted for being a Christian, I'm talking about. What's that? 1040 window? Is that what you said? Yes, correct. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah, it's the 10 degree horizontal to the 40 degree horizontal above the equator. Thank you. What he said. Longitude and longitude. The tudes. Hey, don't give me that tude, man. It's the least evangelized area in the entire world. There's almost no missionaries, no money going there to share the gospel with people. And the persecution for those who do, as Malin is alluding to, is enormous. It's absolutely enormous. If the world does progress such that, or our nation or our community progresses, and it very possibly could, it's very possible, where more and more to say, I believe Jesus and I follow him, where that becomes offensive and we are hated, don't be surprised. Right? That's the other thing, we shouldn't be surprised. I also don't think we should look for it. I did when I was working in business. I worked with a woman who was a believer, and she really, really enjoyed being offensive. She enjoyed that. She enjoyed just kind of going up to people and tweaking them with scripture and getting in their faces, and it was repugnant. I'm sorry, it was awful, right? It was that. She had this idea that she's being persecuted for the Lord. No, you're not. You're just a jerk. You know, that's not persecution. Maybe we be the fragrance of Jesus to people and let that be offensive, not our behavior. Next part of our passage here, Jesus explains that the reason the world hates him is because he has exposed sin. He has. Verses 22 to 25. Jesus did two things that he's done to expose sin. One is he's spoken his word. Two, he's performed miracles, which is, again, as we always talk about, the miracles aren't random. They're not just trying to show supernatural power. They are demonstrations of what the kingdom of God is like. Right? So he heals disease. Why? Because there's no disease in heaven. He raises the dead. Why? Because there's no death in heaven. He casts out the demons. Why? Because there is no evil in heaven. He calms the storm in nature. Why? Because he has all authority over everything, because he is the king forever and ever and ever. And so in those miracles, he is revealing to us the goodness, the righteousness, the holiness of his kingdom. And through his words and through his deeds, he is proclaiming to the world, you are trapped in sin. You have a disease, and you need to be healed. Now, we may argue and say, well, wouldn't it have been better if Jesus just didn't tell us about sin? He says, if it's because he told us about sin, that now we're held guilty. My dear father did not like doctors very much. Maybe some of you can relate. Some of you remember that with my father. Hated needles even more. So he had, you know, that classic mindset that maybe some of us have, which is, if I don't go to the doctor, I'm not sick. Nothing's wrong because the doctor hasn't told me about it. So I remember the vacation we went on when I was a sophomore in high school. He wasn't feeling great. But he had to work that he worked that day, and then we were going to leave the afternoon. And we found out later that he went to work that day, and he packed a gym bag full of clothes because he knew he was probably going to end up in the hospital because of he had a heart condition that he was having. So he was ready. He's prepared to go. He didn't go to the doctor by himself, and ended up he had a stroke that day at work and ended up in the hospital. But that was his mindset. Don't tell me about what's wrong, all right? Don't tell me. But that's not good. That way leads to death. If we don't know that we have this cancer of sin that separates us from our loving Creator, how can we be reconciled to Him? So Jesus says, you have a problem, and I'm the solution. I'm going to die in your place because I love you so much. He just said in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to the Father. Come through me as he goes to the cross on our behalf and dies for us. So here Jesus is showing us that while we are not of the world, here's what we are to expect, that things are going to be difficult, not by our own making, but when we truly, humbly, earnestly follow Jesus. That the world will not like that. And it will entail at times telling people the truth. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. It's very easy to say to someone, come on, there's no such thing as sin, or you don't really need Jesus, everything's okay. It's not the way Jesus speaks. He's not pounding us over the head saying, you better worship me. He's saying, you're sick and I'm the answer. I'm the cure. It's loving of him as he offers himself on the cross for us. And so it will entail us sharing with others. There is a separation from God that occurs in all people. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. And all need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. And if this world is hard, if it gets hard in the living of our lives, which Jesus says it will be, we're not alone. We're not alone. The last part of our passage, verses 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit assists us. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will come. He calls him the Helper, the Spirit of Truth. He bears witness to Jesus through us. We talked a little bit about the role of the Holy Spirit at the end of chapter 14. There's so much more. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the gifts of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. He is the one that equips us with gifts of the Spirit. He also, Jesus says, brings to our minds the teachings, the words of Jesus. And he never leaves us or forsakes us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you, the scriptures declare. And so whether you are faced to stand before the Sanhedrin and testify for how dare you believe in Jesus, whether you're brought before princes and queens and rulers and made to denounce Jesus, or whether your friends just laugh at you because you believe this silly old story, the Holy Spirit is with you, fills you. And so, following Jesus, we may suffer. But the call is for us to love one another and to trust the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and live lives that reflect who Jesus is. Not blend in, not put on camouflage, and try to just skate by. It's really easy in our community. Our community is full of affluence and consumerism and materialism and competition. And it's full of so much stuff. And it's just really easy to just get on the treadmill and race along with everyone else and compete with everyone else. I remember when one of our children was like 5 years old. It's soccer started for everyone, and we decided, because our family, whatever, were busy and all the stuff, that we weren't going to do whatever it was, fall soccer or something. I remember seeing in a barbershop one of our child's friends' fathers. And said, oh, you know, how did you guys do at soccer this season? I said, oh, we didn't play. And the look on his face was, you didn't play? What are you?
Well, you should have seen the other kids, man. They really, really advanced this past 10 weeks. They really grew in their skills. And I had this instantaneous thought of, oh no, it's too late. I failed. They're 5 years old and I failed. It's all, what have I done? And I, by God's grace, stopped myself. It's like just the Holy Spirit smacked me. And I'm like, what am I? That's insane. Yes, that's insane. But it was this idea. I was getting caught up in, I got to keep up. I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to keep up. And no. No. Why? I don't want what the world wants. I don't want to work hard at school so I get good grades, so I go to a good college, so I get a good job, so I can make money, so my children can then do what? Work hard at school so they can go to a good college, so they can get a good job, so the rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. That's the American dream, isn't it? That's not the dream of Jesus. That's not the kingdom of God. How can we love and serve one another humbly? How can we reflect to a world that is hurting how much Jesus loves them? So what should we do this week? As we go forth from here, knowing that we are not of this world, that we belong to Jesus. And he has told us, if we love Jesus, what will we do? We'll obey his teachings. His commands are to love one another. Let us love each other and our neighbors this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love for us and your dying on the cross on our behalf. Lord, would you help us to believe you, to trust in you, O God. And would you help us, Lord, to live as your children, to live your words. Help us to read your words, read your scriptures so we know what you say, and then live it, put it into practice, not by our own power, but by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, so that this world that is hurting and dying and doesn't even know it, though they may dislike us, O God, that they would see you and be drawn to you, Lord, through us. I pray you bless your people. And I pray, O Lord God, for the hurting, dying world, Lord, that you would be gracious to them, that you would open eyes and ears of those who do not yet know you, that they would see your great love for them, and they would bow their knee before you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.